When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you may ask? Well, we find in Acts 2 and verse 4, when the apostles were immersed in the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We find it again, the second time, when Cornelius and his household at the close of Acts 10. But my friends, listen to Peter's explanation of that event in Acts 11. Turn to Acts 11, let's look at verse 15 and 16. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit now. Verse 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" You'll note that Peter had to go all the way back to the day of Pentecost, the beginning, he called it, when the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost to find a similar occurrence. This he called being baptized with the Holy Ghost. These are the only two instances of such taking place recorded in God's Word. Only two times was anyone baptized with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. And when Paul said there is one baptism in Ephesians 4 or 5, he did not mean the baptism of John or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When he wrote those words, both of those baptisms were history. You might know, now take note of this. You might note as well that Paul did not say that there had always been but one baptism. He didn't say that at all. His point was that now there was one baptism. Now there's one baptism. And that baptism was the one we saw Paul teaching those folks in Ephesus about baptism in the name of Jesus, the ones who had been baptized with the baptism of John. It was a baptism that Jesus commanded in Acts 28 and verse 19. We all know these passages, but let's read them together. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Now, this is something that our Lord commanded. He didn't suggest this. He commanded it. He said in Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Now, Mark put it this way in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Turn over there. Let's read that also. Again, these are words of our Lord Jesus. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. I want you to notice here, baptism was administered by man. It was not, therefore, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is administered by God. It was first announced or preached by Peter and the other apostles on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. On that day, many who heard the gospel that was preached cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" in verse 37. And the answer they received was in verse 38, which says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." What happened that day? Well, about 3,000 were baptized that same day. And you know what they were called? You know what they were called? Those who gladly received the word. That's what they were called. Those who gladly received the word. So, my friends, the baptism commanded by Jesus, preached by Peter and others, disciples during the first and succeeding centuries, and obeyed by those who were pricked in their heart, is the baptism that should be restored and preached today. I will show you that baptism is that it is a baptism in water for the remission of sins. And I'm going to show you that. Now, the Greek verb baptize means to dip, immerge, submerge. Actually, in some translations, the word immerse is used instead of baptized. The translators of the Greek scholars recognize that the New Testament baptism was immersion. Turn your Bibles now to Acts, the 8th chapter. Acts Now, you know, my friends, when the eunuch was baptized in Acts 8 and verse 38, they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went away rejoicing. So as you can see, there was a going down into the water, and there was a coming up out of the water. That is immersion. That's immersion. Look at how Paul describes baptism in Romans, the 6th chapter. Look with me. Romans chapter 6. Paul said in verse 4 and 5, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Paul said that we're buried. That means we're dunked. We were underneath the water. We were buried with him through baptism. Paul called it a burial or a uniting. My friends, that is immersion. That's immersion. The action of the New Testament baptism is very clear for those who respect the authority of the New Testament. Well then, you may ask, who is baptized? Well, Jesus said, you remember we read it earlier, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. In other words, people of all nations are to be baptized. Everyone is to be baptized. After the church had been established, Philip preached the gospel in Samaria, and he baptized both men and women. Just who were these people? We'll look at Acts chapter 8, and let's read verse 12. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. The Bible says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Both men and women were baptized. Those who were baptized on the day of Pentecost was those who heard the sermon and were pricked in their hearts and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told to do what? Repent and be baptized. That's what they were told to do. So it is so clear from these other passages that men and women of all nations who hear the gospel, who believe the gospel, who repent of their sins, may be baptized. That belief that they hold in their hearts must also be confessed with the mouth. In all the accounts of the conversions in the New Testament, there is not a single, think about this now, in all of the accounts in the New Testament of conversion to the new, to God and to Jesus, in all the accounts of conversion found in the New Testament, there is not a single record of an infant being baptized. Not one. Why? Well, because an infant cannot believe the gospel. An infant can't confess their faith in Christ. They have no sins of which to repent. They're not subject for the New Testament baptism. And if we restore New Testament baptism, infant baptism will cease. Finally, what about the why? What about the why? Why is a person to be baptized? Is it because his sins have already been forgiven? The Bible does not teach that. Saul said, was told in Acts 22 and verse 16, he says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and calling, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Peter said in Acts 2:38 that baptism was for the remission of sins. Paul told the Romans in Romans 6 verse 17 and 18 that when they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto them, they were then made free from sin. Contextually, the doctrine they obeyed was baptism into the death of the Lord. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, if you would please. Now we know that the purpose of baptism is to secure the remission of sins. The same act also puts us into Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27 teaches us, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." My friends, you must be in Christ to be saved. You have to be in Christ to be saved. And there's only one way you can get into Christ, Paul says, and that is by baptism in verse 3, chapter 3 and verse 27 of Galatians. When he says, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ." You're in Christ once you're baptized. That's the only way you can get into Christ. No other way. It's the only way you can be saved, to be in Christ. In truth, the New Testament teaches that baptism is absolutely essential to salvation. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't know how it could get any clearer than it is stated in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. The Bible says there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's pretty clear to me. Most people do not teach or practice that simple New Testament truth concerning baptism today. They don't teach the truth. We already saw that the Baptist manual said that they have changed. Most now affirm that baptism comes after the remission of sins and is a sign or a seal of the fact that you've already been saved. They teach that salvation comes at the point of belief. And as we have seen this evening, that is just not what the New Testament teaches. If that happens to be your doctrine, then you need to be restored to the New Testament baptism. It is so interesting to me that this idea of baptism being a sign and a seal of the fact that a person is already saved can be traced no further back than the decade of the 1520s to the mind of a man named Zwilligi. This idea was accepted by his followers, and primarily through the influence of John Calvin, it has become the predominant idea of all Protestants. And the problem is, it's just not what the New Testament teaches. Thus, the need to restore New Testament baptism. If I'm wrong about this, please tell me. Show me where I'm wrong. I would be glad to listen to anybody. I'll be glad to sit down with anybody. Show me where I'm wrong. But if I'm right, I have asked you to follow that and give up that error that you're being teaching and are taught. Give it up. Wise and God-fearing people gladly without delay obey the truth when it is laid open and bare, and they perceive it for what it is, the truth that will make them free. That's what it is, the truth that will make them free. And you know what? The Prairie Village Church of Christ proposes to be a group just like what you read about in the New Testament. We give total allegiance to Christ and His inspired message just as the churches of Christ did in the first century. Our mission is to teach the gospel of Christ for the salvation of your soul. If you're interested in being a part of a church who loves the Lord and His inspired message, then there are a few things that you must do. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because He is. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus and God can save you. You must be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then you must live faithfully until you die. If you do that, then you'll receive that crown of life that Jesus speaks about and that He promises. That crown of life, of course, is heaven. If there's anybody here this evening that's not a Christian, please take advantage of the opportunity right now. Come forward. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. And then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And if you're an unfaithful Christian, you've done some things that others are aware of, and you need to repent, after you're repenting to God, come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you, and then you'll be back on that road that leads to heaven. Can we help anyone? If we can help anyone make their life right with God, come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.